Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Today, we travel back in time and learn about Samuel Morse, the creator of Morse code, with the story Professor S.F.B. Morse, from the book Hidden Treasures, written by Harry Lewis. As you may recall, I got my ham radio license last year and have studied Morse code on and off since then. Over the past couple weeks, I have really been studying Morse code a lot, so I finally felt like I had a pretty good grasp on it, so I tried sending and receiving some code the past two nights. I tried to connect with probably 12 people or so, but it was all to no avail. Sometimes I would hear them, but they couldn't hear me, or sometimes it was the fact that their signal kept fading in and out and I couldn't decipher anything. Well, it was exciting and frustrating at the same time. I was super nervous to press that key down and send it, but after a few tries, I got the hang of it. So hopefully in my next Morse code session, I will have more success. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Professor S.F.B. Morse. Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are, said the Lord from the whirlwind to afflicted Job, who remained dumb, for he could not answer. The question has been answered in the affirmative in our day by the perfecter of the electromagnetic telegraph, the late Professor Morse, by whose invention the promise has been fulfilled. I'll put a girdle around the globe in 40 minutes. Samuel Finley Brees Morse was born in Charleston, Massachusetts, April 27, 1791. His father was the first person to publish geographies in America. His father was also a celebrated congressional minister, spending much of his time in religious controversy in maintaining the Orthodox faith throughout the New England churches and against Unitarianism. He was prominent among those who founded Andover Theological Seminary and published many religious periodicals. S.F.B. Morse was a graduate from Yale at the age of 19 and soon went to England for the purpose of studying painting. At the end of 2 years, he received the gold medal of the Adelphia Society of Arts for an original model of a dying Hercules, his first attempt at sculpture. The following year, he exhibited The Judgment of Jupiter, a painting praised by his teacher, Mr. West. Becoming quite proficient in painting and sculpture, he returned home in 1815, following his profession in Boston, Charleston, South Carolina, and later in New York City. At the latter place, in connection with other artists, he organized a drawing association which resulted in the establishment of the National Academy of Design. Professor Morse was chosen its first president and was continued in that office for the following 16 years. He painted a great many portraits, among which was a full-length portrait of Lafayette, which was highly prized and commended by the association. In 1829, he visited Europe a second time to complete his studies in art reading for more than 3 years in the principal cities of the continent. During his absence abroad, he was elected professor of the literature of the arts of design in the University of New York, and in 1835 he delivered a course of lectures before that school on the affinity of those arts. While in college, Mr. Morse had paid special attention to chemistry and natural philosophy, but his love of art seemed to be the stronger. Later, however, these sciences became a dominant pursuit with him. As far back as 1826-1827, he and Professor J. Freeman Dana had been colleague lecturers at the Athenaeum in the city of New York. The former lecturing on the fine arts and the latter upon electromagnetism. They were intimate friends, and in their conversation, the subject of electromagnetism was made familiar to the mind of Morse. The electromagnet on Sturgeon's principle, the first ever shown in the United States, was exhibited and explained in Dana's lectures, and at a later date, by gift of Professor Torrey, came into Morse's possession. Dana even then suggested, by his spiritual volute coil, the electromagnet of the present day. This was the magnet in use when Morse returned from Europe and is now used in every Morse telegraph throughout both hemispheres. On a second return to the United States, he embarked from Havre on the packet ship Sully in the autumn of 1832, and in a casual conversation with some of the passengers on the then recent discovery in France of the means of obtaining the electric spark from the magnet, showing the identity or relation of electricity and magnetism, Morse's mind conceived not merely the idea of an electric telegraph, but of an electromagnetic and chemical recording telegraph, substantially and essentially as it now exists. The testimony of the paternity of the idea in Morse's mind and to his acts and drawings on board the ship is ample. His own testimony was corroborated by all the passengers with a single exception, Thomas Jackson, who claimed to have originated the idea and imparted the same to Morse. However, there is little controversy in regard to this matter at the present day, as the courts decided irrevocably in favor of Morse. The year 1832 is fixed as the date of Morse's conception and realization. Also, so far as drawings could embody the conception of the telegraph system, which now bears his name. A part of the apparatus was constructed in New York before the close of the first year, but circumstances prevented its completion before 1835, when he put up a half mile of wire and coil around a room and exhibited the telegraph in operation. 2 years later, he exhibited the operation of his system before the University of New York. From the greater publicity of this exhibition, the date of Morse's invention has erroneously been fixed in the autumn of 1837, whereas he operated successfully with the first single instrument in November 1835. In 1837, he filed his caveat in the Patent Office in Washington and asked Congress for aid to build an experimental line from that city to Baltimore. The House Committee on Commerce gave a favorable report, but the session closed without action, and Morse went to Europe in the hope of interesting foreign governments in his invention. The result was a refusal to grant him letters patent in England, and the obtaining of a useless brevet d'invention in France, and no exclusive privileges in any other country. He returned home to struggle again with scanty means for 4 years, during which he continued his appeals at Washington. His hope had expired on the last evening of the session of 1842-1843, but in the morning, March 4th, he was startled with the announcement that the desired aid of Congress had been obtained in the midnight hour of the expiring session, and $30,000 placed at his disposal for his experimental essay between Washington and Baltimore. In 1844, the work was completed and demonstrated to the world the practicability and the utility of the Morse system of electromagnetic telegraphing. Violations of his patents and assumption of his rights by rival companies involved him in a long series of lawsuits, but these were eventually decided in his favor, and he reaped the benefits to which his invention entitled him. It is doubtful if any American ever before received so many marks of distinction. In 1846, Yale College conferred on him the degree of LL.D. In 1845, he received the decoration of the Nishan Iftikhar in diamonds from the Sultan of Turkey. Gold medals of scientific merit were awarded him by the King of Prussia, the King of Württemberg, and the Emperor of Austria. In 1856, he received from the Emperor of the French the Cross of Chevalier of the Legion of Honor. In 1857, from the King of Denmark, the Cross of Knight Commander of the First Class of the Danebrog. In 1858, from the Queen of Spain, the Cross of Knight Commander of the Order of Isabella the Catholic. From the King of Italy, the Cross of the Order of S.S. Maurice and Lazarus. And from the King of Portugal, the Cross of the Order of the Tower and Sword. In 1856, the telegraph companies of Great Britain gave him a banquet in London, and in Paris in 1858, another banquet was given him by Americans numbering more than 100 and representing almost every state in the Union. In the latter year, at the instance of Napoleon III, representatives of France, Russia, Sweden, Belgium, Holland, Austria, Sardinia, Tuscany, the Holy See, and Turkey met in Paris to decide upon a collective testimonial to him, and the result was a vote of 400,000 francs as a personal reward for his labors. On December 29, 1868, the citizens of New York gave him a public dinner. In June 1871, a bronze statue of him, erected by the voluntary contributions of telegraph employees, was formally unveiled in Central Park, New York, by William Cullen Bryant, and in the evening a reception was held in the Academy of Music, at which Professor Morse telegraphed by means of one of the instruments used on the original line between New York and Washington, a message of greeting to all the cities of the continent. The last public service which he performed was the unveiling of the statue of Franklin in Printing House Square, New York, on January 17, 1872. Submarine telegraphy also originated with Professor Morse, who laid the first submarine lines in New York Harbor in 1842 and received at the time from the American Institute a gold medal. He died in the city of New York, April 2, 1872. While in Paris in 1839, he made the acquaintance of Daguerre, and from drawings furnished him by the latter, he constructed on his return the first daguerreotype apparatus and took the first sun pictures ever taken in America. He was also an author and poet of some standing.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com or You can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the Space Shuttle has earned its place in history and has come to a final stop.